Hello and welcome to the Be Your Own Healer Telesummit. I'm Jonathan Fitzgordon, your host and founder of Core Walking. I'm here today speaking with Joanna Lindenbaum of Soulful Coaching for Busy Women. Joanna helps women entrepreneurs grow their ideas into thriving businesses that support their lives. She does this by addressing both inner work to uncover blocks that prevent success and outer concrete strategies designed to support all aspects of developing, running, and growing a business. Welcome, Joanna. It's nice to talk to you today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. What does the phrase "be your own healer" mean to you? Why is it important for people to help themselves?
Yeah, I love that phrase. And when I even just, you know, heard about the Telesummit and this "be your own healer" concept, I got really excited because for me, what it really, at its core, what it really means is that when it comes down to it, each individual person needs to take responsibility for their own life, for their own health, for their own success and their own happiness. We can have other people that help us or guide us or give us direction, but ultimately it's our choice and it's our responsibility.
And how has you know, the course of your life and your own history informed that approach to working with people?
Yeah. I think for me, without getting too much into my personal story, it really started at a very young age. Because I grew up with a mother that was very, very ill throughout my life, you know, and kind of witnessed her going from doctor to doctor and specialist to specialist, you know, what I really came to see and learn, even as a young person, is that at the end of the day, for, you know, and that it was the context of health with that, but at the end of the day, you've got to make your own choices. And I saw my mom making a lot of choices that weren't great for her health, even though others were, you know, guiding her and giving her other directions. And, you know, we unfortunately saw the results of that. So I feel like I learned really early on that it's really important and that each person really has the ability to take their lives and their health into their own hands and to create the life that they want for themselves.
When did you, like, when would you say you knew you wanted to do the work you're doing now? Or another way to look at it is that, like, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, it's a great question. I didn't know that I wanted to do the work that I'm doing now until I was doing it. So even if you would have said to me, you know, 8-9 years ago, you're going to be helping women build businesses, I would have just started cracking up and laughing. The whole sort of road to, you know, doing the work that I do has been an organic one. So, you know, I mean, you could see the beginnings of it when I was younger. When I was younger, I always thought I wanted to either be a psychologist or a doctor. So I always was very interested in helping people and in holding space for people and wanted to be a support to help heal people, you know, in the inner and outer levels. But it took some time to get to the place where I realized that, you know, I had this expertise both in helping people heal themselves as well as kind of those outer concrete, all right, let's get down to business and build your business.
You know, this, the putting this project together was very interesting, and it's gone places that I didn't exactly realize. Most people I'm talking to in the summit are work in the physical healing mode.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of yoga teachers, doctors, nutritionists, and you're teaching entrepreneurial empowerment for women. And I'm starting to realize the nature of entrepreneurial empowerment as healing. Does that make sense to you? Do you see that fitting into the healing model?
100%, and I'm so glad that you're mentioning that and that you can see that, Jonathan, because building a business is not just about the outer marketing strategy and the systems. That's obviously a huge part of it, but what I have seen for myself, as well as the hundreds and hundreds of women that I've served, is that in order to be really successful in business, you can have the best marketing plan in the world, but that's not ultimately what is going to help you be successful. Because even if you've got that best marketing plan, if you have a fear of success, or if you have limiting beliefs about not surpassing your family members, or if you have limiting beliefs around how much money you're able to make, or if you have fears about being visible in the world, or even if you have fears around what's going to happen to my health if I really put myself out there, you know, all of those fears and those inner limiting beliefs, they're going to stand in the way of that beautiful marketing strategy. And in one way or another, you're going to end up sabotaging the marketing strategy or not following through or, you know, whatever it is. So for me, what I really have observed, and for the women that I support, the journey of being an entrepreneur and the journey that I support them on is a dual one. It's about building your business, but as you build your business, you really build yourself. You build your confidence. You learn how to value yourself more. You literally heal from the inside out and the outside in that entrepreneurial journey.
You know, and just in full disclosure, you work with my wife, and I've just seen the power of the work you do firsthand between, you know, what it does with her and just watching the people she's involved with in your program and watching how that all filters through. It's really, it's been beautiful to watch. It's been a while now.
Thank you.
In terms of, like, what you're doing, in you're kind of like a teacher and a guide. How much responsibility does the individual have when it comes to healing or even building their own business?
Yeah. What I like to say to the women that I work with is that I can tell you about the river. I can tell you where the river is. I can hold you, your hand, and bring you to the river. I can explain to you how to cross it, but I can't carry you on my shoulders across that river. That's something that you have to do yourself. And what I've really learned and seen is that's really what it is, you know, I can guide women, but at the end of the day, it's their responsibility to take the suggestions that I make and actually execute them to, you know, work on their businesses in the ways that we've been talking about. And that's been, for me, you know, honestly, it's taken a while to learn that. When I first started working with people, I was doing a lot of what I call over-responsibility. I didn't notice it then, but I saw it after a while. I was taking way too much responsibility for my clients. So if they weren't, you know, whatever it was, you know, making prospect calls or writing their newsletters or whatever it is that we had said they were going to do for the week or the month, I would take it upon myself and say, oh my gosh, you know, what's going wrong here? What have I not done? Maybe I need to give them a call to make sure they're on schedule, you know, all this stuff. And it was sort of like, you know, the mistakes that you first make when you start working with people. It was just my own tendency from my history to want to take responsibility for others. And what I really ultimately learned is that the more I could hand responsibility over to my clients, the more that I could teach them how to take responsibility for themselves, ultimately, the more successful they were going to be. And also on my end, the less tired and drained I was going to be so that I could actually be more present to help them.
Yeah, it's such an amazing process of how do you give people the freedom to find their way, but also create the, you know, the support system to let them have it. I mean, I work with back pain, and no one is going to fix you in terms of your back pain. You're going to have to fix yourself. You just have to find the right guides that will help get you there.
Yeah, Absolutely. And you know, just one other thing I'll say about that, being a parent, it's I've learned a lot through parenting on this topic too. You know, so many times when my daughter doesn't know how to do things or gets herself into a jam or has an issue, you know, my first response is, oh, let me fix it for her. Let me help her. And what, you know, just I've learned so much from parenting, as, you know, same as like being an entrepreneur. And what I've learned as a parent is it never really serves my daughter for me to rush in and just fix her. I've learned how to like lay, you know, kind of stand back a little bit and help give her options, but have her take the responsibility for herself. So not to compare entrepreneurial, you know, women to children, but I do see a lot of parallels in that process.
I think it's all the same. You know, it's all part and parcel. I have memories of this exact experience, but like pre-verbal, you know, where my I have two kids and my baby, one of them would be on the floor and you could see that they wanted something like a foot away and they'd be crying for it, and my instinct would always be to get it for them.
Yeah.
And they couldn't ask for it, but it was clear they wanted it. And then I just started saying, you know, I backed off and I said, oh, let's see what happens. Like, either they're going to desire it enough to make the effort to go get it, or they'll let it go. And that was a really empowering thing for me in terms of it's very easy just to want to endlessly fix. You know, you don't go into the work we do without some sense of that to begin with, right? So so it's we have to work to back off of that, which I think is really interesting. In terms of, you know, our health, how much do people need to do on their own? How much do you advise? Like, if you're a business coach, do you tell people what to eat? Is like recommending lifestyle advice within your purview?
Well, I'd say most business coaches don't, but my philosophy is really about the whole person. If you're not healthy, your business isn't going to be healthy, even if it looks successful on the outside. So while I don't, you know, while it's not my expertise, for example, to give recommendations on exactly what to eat or, you know, what supplements to take, I do a lot of suggesting around taking more time for yourself, resting, exercising. You know, are you getting enough sleep? Is it time to see a nutritionist? I really, particularly when I see women overworking or getting drained, you know, it's something that we'll look at. Because it is really important to be healthy in order to create a thriving business that you enjoy.
It's been these interviews have been really interesting for me on a lot of levels, and one of the most interesting is getting a sense of people's self-care. It has been a component of every interview in the sense of people saying, listen, this is what I know what I need to do my work best, whether it be diet, sleep, exercise. But everyone I've talked to is just very, very aware of how they're taking care of themselves. And, you know, you would think that that's just a taken for granted with everybody, and it really just it's not necessarily the truth.
Yeah, that is certainly true. And I know for myself it has been a process. Again, you know, back to my personal history, I didn't have models of, you know, parents who really knew how to take care of themselves. But what I really learned for myself is in order to run a thriving business, and, you know, I run a business where I have 17 members and hundreds of clients, and I am also a mom, and I it's very important for me not to work crazy hours. So in order to make all of that happen and do what I need to get done, what I've learned is what's most vital for me is to take care of myself. So I make sure I get my massage, you know, if not every week, a couple times a month. And I make sure I get my acupuncture, and I make sure I'm eating well and getting my sleep and, you know, going to yoga, all of those things, my spiritual practice every morning. Without that, I might still be able to run my business, but I would be a very frazzled person who was not very happy running her business if I didn't have all of those things.
And then just to get back to the parenting thing, but so many people don't realize it's just like you're gonna you have to pick and choose, right? So you're gonna if you want to, if you have to be healthy if you want to have the business and be a good parent mm-hmm. to your children at the same time.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. And to be a good model for them.
Right.
And your clients. You know what I always, you know, because, you know, I fall off the wagon and we all do. And one of the things that motivates me to get back onto my self-care routine is that I need to really walk my talk. I need to do it for my daughter and I need to do it for my clients because these are the things I'm telling them. So it's almost like a nice little motivation when you know you have to kind of walk your talk.
No question. I talk often about, like, my parents were not exercisers. They didn't move. And so for me, I have to, you know, it's not in my nature to wake up and move. I do it because I love it. I want to be healthy. But at this point, I really do it to show my kids that I move. If I move, I don't tell them to do it. I just show them, and hopefully they get the they pick it up. You know, so when I work with pain clients and teaching people to walk, pain is such an interesting thing for people because it can be so debilitating in so many levels and in addition to physically, mentally. So one of the things that I feel like I'm selling is a belief that someone can change. They don't have to settle for not feeling their best. But and I feel like sometimes I'm their cheerleader, you know, believing in them when they have doubts. How much cheerleading is involved with what you do? Are you selling hope?
Yeah. Yes. To the cheerleading, the hope, I would shift that languaging a little bit just for what I'm doing. So for sure, a big piece of coaching is the coaching that I do is cheerleading people on. But even more than that, what I find is that across the board, people are more likely to see what they're not doing as opposed to the progress that they're making. And what I've come to see is that one of my big jobs is to really help mirror back to my clients how they are moving forward and the progress that they are making, because that's where more motivation comes from. We never want to, like, move in good ways and move forward in good ways when we're not feeling good about ourselves. But when we can see what we've already done and celebrate it, then that's much more motivation to move forward in ways that really make sense. So I do that kind of cheerleading, and I think that what I really offer, even more than hope, is a sense of confidence and self-worth and self-value, which then almost promotes the hope or the bigger desire and motivation to do more in your business. So really at its core, for the women that I work with, is about, you know, building up their sense that they can make their goals happen and that they are bringing something of incredible value into the world through their businesses.
It's really great. It's because they're coming to you. They're not coming to you unless they believe it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
They have that desire. They just can't manifest it just yet.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's like if they're coming to me, they know it. They know somewhere inside of themselves that they have this value, that they can do it. But so often, you know, it might be somewhere inside of us, but we don't really see it, or we don't really know it, or we don't really own it. And that, you know, a big part of that inner work that I do with my clients is helping them learn how to own that value and really see it.
You know, pain of all kinds, of physical, emotional, is often an indicator that something is wrong with the system, and it's the signal that forces us to take steps to make changes. How much has your pain, you know, physical or emotion, led you to seek out different healers and want to do the work on yourself?
A lot. So I've got lots of different, you know, stories around that, but I'll say probably one of the biggest is in my mid-20s, before being a business owner, I was working in the art world, and I was working a lot, crazy hours, had a lot of stress and anxiety in my life. I was a smoker. I wasn't exercising. There's a lot going on. And I woke up one day, I thought I had had a stroke, because there was something very wrong with my face. Half of my face was paralyzed. It turns out I had Bell's palsy. And, you know, for a 25-year-old single woman living in New York City, having half of your face paralyzed, not so much fun. And when I went to the doctor, and she said right away, you've got Bell's palsy, and she said, you know, no big deal, take these heavy-duty antibiotics and steroids, and you should be all fixed up, you know, in a week or two. And I, of course, was in shock. I went to the pharmacy. I fulfilled, you know, got the prescriptions, and I couldn't take the pills. When it came to taking the pills, even though I wanted desperately for this Bell's palsy to go away as soon as possible, I knew inside of myself that for me, like, the medication wasn't going to do it, because I knew that this had happened because of how I was living my life, because of my lifestyle, because of all of the anxiety that I had in my life. A piece of it was also just feeling very connected into my mother, who has multiple sclerosis, which is also a neurological illness, just like Bell's palsy. And I knew in that moment that the medication might be a Band-Aid, but if I really wanted to set myself on a path of health, real solid health for my life, what was actually going to be required was looking deep inside myself and facing my fears and doing the work to become more independent, and then changing my actual lifestyle. And so even though it was incredibly difficult, I made the decision not to take the medication and instead start going to acupuncture, changing my habits, yoga, meditation. I found myself a good therapist, and I started this inner journey that I've been on now for almost 15 years. And I, you know, in retrospect, even though the Bell's palsy was this dark moment of the soul for me, I am so incredibly grateful that it happened, and it happened at such a young age for me, because I feel like it truly changed the course of my life, and it really set me onto this path of I can take responsibility. I have the ability to heal myself, both on the physical and the emotional levels.
Such great stuff. We share Bell's palsy in common.
I think I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, and I got it June 17th will be my four-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bell's palsy is a fascinating thing, because you don't necessarily know where it comes from. My father had passed away just a couple of months before mine kicked in.
Yeah.
And don't know where it came from, and mine actually hasn't healed, which is, it healed probably about 60%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just an amazing process, because if I meet somebody, they don't know that I have Bell's palsy unless I point it out to them. But
yeah.
I certainly know I have Bell's palsy every time I look in the mirror, and it's an amazing thing to say that for 40 years, it's so yoga-based for me in terms of, you know, our connection and our attachment to the body, but for 40 years, I looked in the mirror and saw one person. And now, past 40 years, I look in the mirror and I see a completely different person. I am and if I see pictures, and it's an amazingly, profoundly humbling and empowering thing, because it's something you're forced to work with. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, for myself, if I am not taking care of myself or I'm very tired, I see more of the Bell's palsy coming back. And it used to be annoying, and now it feels like a great teacher, like, oh, it's time to take better care of myself now. I can literally see it in my face.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's our nervous system and all of it. It's an amazing process. So that's an interesting thing. In other words, like, you have this deeply rooted process that affected you early on. And one of the things for me, and it might be a little different, but when I meet somebody in pain, I'm a detective, you know, and I'm looking. And sometimes, someone shows up to me and they've had, let's say, chronic back pain for 2 years. It might turn out that it was actually, if they're 35, it was actually like a car accident that they were in when they were five that affected them in a way, or whether it's something didn't heal well or they compensated wrong. So I'm sort of, you know, looking to that root cause. How much would you say you do that in your practice?
Oh, I do it all the time. Not with physical pain, but either with, you know, the pain of not, because people aren't moving forward in their business, or something else around it. So, you know, for example, a lot of times I have women coming to me, you know, that they can't, like I was saying earlier, you know, they may have a plan of how to make themselves more visible, but it's like week after week, month after month, year after year, they're not really doing what they know they need to make that plan become a reality. And so part of the work that I do with my clients is, you know, instead of just giving them the same homework assignment week after week and then they don't do it, we say, okay, let's take a look at what's happening here. And as we uncover the reasons why either someone isn't taking action, or maybe they're overworking, or they're constantly stressed about their business, you know, whatever it is, as we begin to take a look at that, where I'll always go is, you know, where did this, and it's always ultimately a fear or a limiting belief that's standing in people's way, and where we'll always go is, what were the events or series of events that brought this fear into being? Who is this fear modeled on in your family? Usually it's a parent or a teacher, or, you know, someone from the person's childhood that they either modeled the behavior on, or they're holding on to this behavior because their mom, who is now passed away, like, she used to do this behavior of putting things off or being scared of other people's reactions or whatever it is, and they're almost memorializing their mother, their father, through the holding on to it. So absolutely the detective work comes into play, because what I found is that it's not enough to just say, okay, I've got a fear of visibility, or, you know, I've got this money story, but when you can really uncover why you have this fear and where it came from, it's so much easier to begin to let it go.
Do you, like, in your work, do you feel that you take on the suffering of others? And, like, what does that look like for you? Or how do you protect yourself from taking on too much?
Yeah, I don't, and it does go back to that over-responsibility piece. So I'll share that probably my first year, I really did, because I was so, again, my own personal history, I was so used to taking on the suffering of my family and my sick mother, and, you know, even like the history I come from, a Holocaust history, you know, I was taking on the suffering of the Jewish people, and it was very much in my bones and my DNA. And being a business owner actually has helped me heal that, because while I wasn't able to see it so much in the family context, I was able, you know, within that first year of business, to see how I was taking it on for my clients, and how it obviously wasn't serving me, because it was draining me energetically, and it actually wasn't serving them, because it was putting me in a position to not be able to help them as well, and not letting them really take responsibility for their own stuff. So I learned pretty quickly with that. And now, you know, for me, it's really about when I'm with my clients and I'm with my students, I'm present to them. I hold the space for them. I'm there to offer suggestions, but I really get that their own journey is their own journey, and it's not my job to fix it. And I've become really adept at being able to connect deeply with my clients, but to have those boundaries that are really mostly energetic in a way, but to really have those energetic boundaries so I don't get sucked up into their suffering.
And like, and what do you expect of them? Like, how attached are you to the your client's success?
I want them to be very successful, but I'm not attached to it. And even when I say I want them to be successful, what I'd say is I want them to achieve the goals that they want. So, you know, one thing that I really like to say about being attached to outcome, I learned this for myself, and this has been really helpful for the women that I work with, is that being attached to outcome doesn't mean that you don't want a certain outcome. So, for example, I really want my clients to be successful. I really want them to achieve their goals. I really want them to build their business and their income. So, being attached to outcome doesn't mean that you don't want the outcome, but what it does mean is that you're not going to make up a story about yourself or your own value or what's going to happen in the future because of a particular outcome. So I do have, you know, by and large, my clients are successful, but every now and again, I do have a client that's just not willing to do the work or can't do the work, or, you know, it takes her maybe longer to achieve what she wants. And so even though I really want it for her, I don't go making up stories about myself or my value or herself or her value or what's going to happen ultimately because of the results that she's achieving.
So there's a fine line between enabling and guiding. And clearly it sounds like you're not doing the work for them, but what happens when they just won't do it? Like if you have a client who you can see that they could be making choices to feel better or improve their business and they just refuse to do the work. Like, is it your responsibility to motivate them? How far do you go with that?
Yeah, so we do, you know, as I said, like we do a lot of the inner work to see if that can help motivate them. And I try to really look at it from all aspects. Okay, how can I help them get motivated without taking that over responsibility? But whether it's through the outer work or, I mean, sorry, the inner work or getting them a buddy, an accountability buddy can help, because sometimes we just need, you know, somebody to report to. I did this, I didn't do this, you know, all of that. But every now and again, there are some people that no matter what inner work we do or no matter what, you know, strategies we put in place, they're just not able to do it. And at that point, you know, for me, it's really about, okay, you know, I've brought you to the river, I've told you how to cross the river, but you're just not willing to do it. You know, is this not the right time or the right journey for you right now to build your business? You have to make a choice for yourself. And whereas when I first started working with women, I was a little scared to do that, honestly, because it felt like a failure on my part. You know, like, I can't get this woman to build her business. What I've really come to learn is that it's a personal choice, and I really ask each woman to make that choice. And I say, you know what, you can choose to change your habits, your patterns, and do what you're saying you want to do, or you can choose not to, and that's okay also, but it's really time to make a choice here. What do you want to do?
That's so great. You know, when I'm working with pain, it's such a fascinating thing to watch people, because there's not, in a lot of ways, there's no greater incentive than being in pain to get out of pain, you know.
Yeah.
But the brain is a very powerful thing, and there are people who come in and they, let's say if I do release work with them, and I look at them and I go, wow, like this kind of stuff should be working, you know, like you put yourself into a physical position and you should be letting go, and they go, why isn't it happening? And I'm like, you know, you can't really control what, how you let go of something. Sometimes you have to, like, you know, find your way into the slipstream of letting go. And it's very hard to be in a place with people and say, look, sometimes you're just not going to let go. Sometimes this is where you're going to get stuck. And sometimes, and or, you know, you might have to come back to that place in 6 months or 8 months or a year. Like, the body will take care of you when it's ready. And in a strange way, for some, we're never ready, you know. It depends on the level of your, I guess, health and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think I love what you're saying, because you bring up a great point that, you know, I don't understand so much how it works in the body like you do, but I can speak on for the emotional, you know, mental level, is that we're not always going to be moving forward we're not always going to be consistently moving forward, right? No matter who you are, whether it's healing, I would assume healing your physical body, again, I can speak to healing the emotional, the fear, the limiting beliefs, we're going to make some progress. And then there's going to be a period of, like, let's have it integrate first before we get to the next level of healing. And I think sometimes people get frustrated with that because they think that the growth cycle is just grow, 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 move forward, move forward, move forward, move forward. But what I've really learned is it's more about cycles. It's moving forward, integrate, sometimes even a little step back, move forward, and then pause, integrate, you know. So it's important, I think, to know that also when you go after any goal, whether it's a goal around healing your physical body or building your business or whatever it is.
And I think there's a lot of trust, trust and instincts involved, right? Like, is there a – how do you teach people to you know, manage their instincts, to believe your instincts? In other words, when your gut tells you to something different than when your healer does or your coach does, like, how do you go about seeking advice, or do you just really trust your own self?
Yeah, I'd say for me, it's a combination of both. So I love to be open and receive suggestions and ideas and ways of moving forward. And then I take them in, and I really, you know, connect in with my inner wisdom, with my intuition, and sense, okay, what's going to be right for me. And that's a lot how I work with my clients as well. You know, so sometimes I might suggest to someone, you know, it's time, you've been putting out your newsletter once a month, and, you know, I think it's time to bump it up to twice a month. And oftentimes people will say, great, you know, I'm ready to do it, or I have some fears, can, you know, help me work through this, and then I'll be okay. But every now and again, you know, there's someone who says, I hear you, I understand why you're suggesting this to me, but, you know, this and this is going on in my life, and I just don't feel like I have the bandwidth for it now. Can we revisit this in 6 months? Or, you know, I don't love writing my newsletter. I don't think I want to do it more than once a month. And I'll say, great, you know, as long as we've established that that person isn't making that decision out of fear, but it's truly coming from their inner wisdom, I'll say, great, let's find another strategy. You know, what else can we be doing here? I really... I believe it's so important, again, as long as it's not coming from fear, the decision to trust the client's inner wisdom around what's going to be best for them.
And for you personally, like, what kind of healers have you sought out in your own life? What motivates you when you're not able to do the work?
I have seen the gamut of healers. I love to go see healers. It's one of my favorite things to do. So, And luckily, my husband's an acupuncturist, so I get a lot of that. But everything from, you know, craniosacral to EFT to yoga, it was awesome. When I was living in Brooklyn, Jonathan, I got to work with you many years ago on the walking, which was incredible for me. You know, I will try almost any healing modality because I feel like there's so much value in it.
I say to people all the time, I will give my money to anyone for the just to see, you know. And a couple of years ago, I went to this guy who I thought it was actually a Bell's palsy thing, where I had no change in my face for 5 months. I went to this guy in an apartment on the Upper East Side, and he basically punched me in the stomach and snapped his fingers for about an hour. And he was a trip. He was a really interesting guy. And 3 days later was when my healing started.
Mm,
and,
wow.
You know, maybe that was connected, you know, maybe not. You know, recently I'm very lucky, right? I can kind of do trade. You know, I meet you, I go, well, I teach you to walk. Let's share our work. And I went to somebody and I had hepatitis C. I've had it since 1983, so going on 30 years. And I went to a woman and she literally for an hour had her hands on my belly. And at one point she says, you know what, your liver is really overtaxed. And I said, oh, you know, I have hepatitis. And she goes, yeah, no, I can feel it. Your liver is not happy. And that was just literally her hand on my belly. Mm-hmm. And she made a bunch of suggestions that I went and did and took on, and it worked, you know. And consequently, I went to a different Chinese medicine healer who I go to a lot. And he, without hearing that I had been to this woman, he goes, oh, wow, you're doing 6 months later, he goes, you're doing so much better. I find there's just so much benefit to going to anybody who can help me or give me advice. And again, it's about trusting one's instincts, right? I really feel like I can take what you have to offer because I have a solid base from which to figure out what you're giving me. What do you think, in terms of somebody who's just getting started in this realm, and I really love how the entrepreneurial work connects to healing, but what are the most important first steps for someone to take on their road to being their own healer?
I think so much of what we've been talking about, you know, one of the very first steps is to be able to connect into your own inner wisdom. And what for me and, you know, what I've seen is the ability to connect into your own inner wisdom is very much connected to the ability to connect to your body. So what I always love to just start off and teach my women entrepreneurs is just how to inhabit your body more. You know, in our society today, we've placed so much emphasis on the mental and the thinking. And there's a lot of great that has come of that. I don't want to knock that. I think thoughts and thinking and mental activity are wonderful, but what I think it's really done is sort of like cut our heads off from our bodies, and our bodies hold so much wisdom and just a wealth of information for us. So being able to shift some of that excess energy that we all have just because we live in this culture from our heads and from the mental activity, and to really begin to settle in more into our bodies and just begin to notice, how do I feel? What has my rhythm been, and is that working for me? What is my body trying to tell me? You know, once we can tune into our bodies, we can tell the difference between a fear-based action and an action that we're really motivated to do, for example, because it might be that we feel it in our gut, you know, we feel it in our belly, or we get this little ringing sound in our ear when we do something that's misaligned, or, you know, whatever it is. So I think just really starting with connecting in with your body and remembering, literally remembering our bodies, coming home to that finding the wealth of information and feedback that we can get there, I have found is helpful not just for entrepreneurs, but truly across the board in whatever you are moving towards.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Joanna. It was really great speaking to you and hearing more about your work and about how you and your clients can heal themselves. And again, I can just speak to the quality of your work from watching you work with my wife over the past couple of years.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I loved this conversation. It was so great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And for more information on Joanna Lindenbaum, you can go to her website, soulfulcoach.com. Have a great day.
Bye.